Deep integration MVC and web forms. I'm Matthew Kane. I'm a senior architect at Bank of America. And what I'm doing right now in that role is I'm a dev lead on an internal facing web application that uses both MVC and web forms. So what we're going to be doing today is very few slides. I'm not a real slick presenter with all kinds of whiz bang stuff. It's going to be lots of live coding and your questions. I'm in. We've got the Jabber conference and live meeting there. So basically, what we're going to have here is I'm going to walk you through a bunch of techniques for the heavy lifting that's now required to get really good integration between MVC and web forms before we get to Scott Hanselman's future vision. So, I mean, generally the situation we find ourselves in if we care about this stuff is we've got a legacy web forms application. And generally there's some kind of requirement that we need to do more whiz-bangy things, you know, make it look more like these modern web applications. And you kind of look at all the cool things that other people are doing out there, and you try to do them in ASP.NET. You find that the current state of web forms is getting in the way, making that a little more difficult. Not impossible, but it's not so easy. And you see all these nice demonstrations go, well, yeah, but using MVC, it becomes really easy to add these things in. So to make your development life easier, you want to get the MVC in there. So we can start with the basic integration that Scott Hanselman has blogged about several times. And if you aren't already familiar with that literature, just Google Scott Hanselman MVC web forms, and you'll get the relevant hits there. But it's just basic integration. And what I found in working on my own internal website is it would make my life even more easier if I integrated them together. So buckle up, let's ride. We'll see what it takes to do this. So the tools I'm using here: Visual Studio 2010 SP1 with MVC 3. This is the latest release software. It's what's right now. No pre-release software. You can go and right after we're done, start working on this now. So I'm actually just going to completely get rid of PowerPoint, not have it take up any more memory, and we'll get started. So what I did to demonstrate this thing is I just wanted to make a real plain vanilla website that I just I open up a solution. Add new project, ASP.NET, a real basic, plain, vanilla sort of thing. I chose internet application, which would give you the forms authentication. And the basic reason I did that is it's pain. And I wanted to have some painful things in there so that you would see how to deal with it in the demo and not just go back to the office and go, oh, well, you know, he picked a real easy thing and, you know, fine, but now I'm getting all kinds of errors and I don't know what to do. So I want to put a bit of a pain in there. And I just kind of put in some, I did some restyling it to make it look like the ASP.conf stuff, changed the about a little bit. Oh, I guess I need to restart the web server here. I'm not even doing anything fancy like using IIS Express. This is just the Cassini web server. So let's get that. So it actually works. I hope this will speed up a little bit. Oh, I forgot to mention, along with me today on this presentation is the Dark Demo of Demons. And depending on his mood, he might have some error messages to show you. And that could be a little educational, seeing how to deal with some of these things. So this is the first step, a simple WebForms application. I just decided to make something kind of dumb here, just so it has some functionality. The world's worst encryption. So you put in some plain text, then the key, hit encrypt, and you get some ciphertext. And it's doing this in your basic kind of dumb sort of web form sort of way. You know, you'll see here that it's got you know, your basic ASP labels, text boxes. We've got a div here set to display none at first. We've got, you know, your ASP button that submits, and then it does a post back, it comes back, and if there's anything in that ciphertext, then we do a little bit of jQuery just to make a little fancy slide down. And this uses a master page. And in the head, we're bringing in some jQuery stuff. And this is basically very close to straight out of the box. There's a login view, and there's a navigation menu. I did something a little bit kind of cute here. You'll notice here that we're doing some data binding for the hrefs for all of these things. If you look at the code behind, we do page header data bind to make that work. And the reason for this sort of thing is because in the debug build, I want to use the full versions of things, and in the release build, I want to use minified ones. So that's so by doing that, we have that functionality there. But it's just got your basic stuff that's out of the box. This is all there. Plain vanilla stuff. So now, how do we go about getting to the next step? One of the things that I did here. Now, by the way, I just want to set things straight. What I'm giving you here isn't a here it is exactly step by step. Do it this way precisely. You have more flexibility than that. You don't have to do all of the things here, you know, depending on what your particular situations are. You don't have to do it in the order here, but I, you know, for the sake of presentation, I've, you know, put it into kind of bite-sized chunks to make it easier to understand. But this is just a collection of techniques. So what I did to make things easier is from step one to step two, I'm not even adding an MVC. All I'm doing here is setting up my project to make it a bit easier to add in the MVC stuff, to get it kind of, you know, prep for the operation. You know, we'll spread some Betadine solution where we're gonna put the scalpel. So the first thing, and part of what I'm doing here is, remember, this step one is your basic out-of-the-box web forms. And what I want to do is to make this more like your out-of-the-box MVC, because I'm trying to keep things as, you know, there's so many things where arbitrarily you can do things differently, but out of the box, the wizards give you a certain thing, and I'm trying to stick by that. So, you know, there's some things that aren't entirely necessary, but make life a little bit easier. So the default web forms thing has a styles folder, and it puts site.css in. The MVC one puts it under content. So I'm gonna move it there. Gonna get rid of styles there. But now since I moved that, I'm actually referring to it here, so I better change that here, or that'll break. Okay. Now another thing that's going to make it kind of easier to deal with things is I'm going to create a PageBase class. And at first, all it does is inherit page. But now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into all these other guys, and I'm going to change these all to inherit from base page. I'm sorry, page base. There we go. So this will just make it easier to make changes later. And a lot of the, in general, when I work, I like to do the scut work up front. Usually something I can do while I'm on a conference call. And then when I need to actually concentrate and think, I don't have to be bothered with such stuff. So we can build that. We can double check that everything still works, that we haven't broken anything. Yeah, that's good. Okay, so on to the next thing. Okay, because MVC has its layout.cshtml and the web forms has site master and they're going to contain the same content, what we want to do is break out that common content into user controls. And that'll make it kind of easier to deal with the common things. So for the head area, we've got all that funky stuff there, and we've taken all of that data, all that stuff that we need to deal with for the data binding for debug and release versions in there, and then the header has all that cute stuff in there, and then a boring code behind. So now let's just use those guys and go back to the site master. And now we need to add references to those. So I'm just going to kind of make my life a little easier by copying from the next version. So we need to register those user controls. And then we're just going to replace where the stuff is in line. We're going to replace it with the user control there. And the same thing there. We end up having a simpler sort of thing. And let's double check that we didn't break anything. and take a look. And it's all happy. So that's the gets us to step two, which is kind of ready to go. So get rid of that guy. This is step two. Make that our, let's just see if, make sure it's still running. If not, I'll have to start that one up again. Okay, let's restart that web server. Okay. This is version 2. Okay. Now we're going to get to the part where we bring in MVC. So we need to add references to MVC and the routing assemblies. Now, I will agree with Scott Hanselman. The easiest way to do this is you create a dummy MVC project and you start copying things. So what I'm going to do.
Yeah, although I have not been home for.
Does someone have a question, or do I just need to tell everybody?
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, let's mute everyone. The easiest thing to do here is to use something like Beyond Compare to start making changes. So we've got the CS project file. So the one on the right is your basically comes from your dummy MVC thing, and we're going to start taking things from there, and we're just going to I don't want to mess with that. Here, we'll bring those over. Keep the development server point there. And we'll save this. Now it's going to tell us we need to reload. And you'll see now we've got all kinds of additional references. Now, there's also some differences in webconfig. So we're going to need to copy some things in that are a little different from the other guy. So first of all, we've got all these assemblies that need to be referenced there. So we'll do that. And we have these pages here. We need these namespaces added, which is and we have these additional runtime and app settings things. Now the truth is, I don't even really know what all these things are. I don't really care. It's just the boilerplate stuff that came out of there, and you copy the boilerplate, and it works. Another piece of boilerplate, in the global ASAX, we've got all of this stuff for registering the routes that we need. And we'll go to our global ASAX, and we're going to, all that stuff that has to go in application start. Now, this line here, well, one of the things I also got to do is I've got to add in the correct usings. Okay. This line here did not come from the boilerplate. That's one that we have to add by hand. Because we still have our existing ASPX pages, we need to ignore the root so that rooting doesn't kick in and it actually hits those pages. That's an important one, otherwise it'll break your existing pages. Among the things that we're copying, MVC added some additional scripts that weren't there before that you'll have to copy. Now, the next thing we need to do, because these user controls that are now used in SiteMaster need to also be used in the layout.cshtml. But there it's going to require that rather than inheriting from user control, they have to inherit from view user control, or it won't work there. We've got that, and similarly here. Okay. And now those guys will be able to work. Now, remember I was talking about the login and all that stuff where that was really kind of a pain. One of the pains there is that the login control will check that it's inside a form. It needs to be inside a form. So for your when it's included in SiteMaster, it's no big deal because everything is in a form on a web forms page. Kind of logically, they call it web forms. Everything's in a form. But MVC ain't necessarily so. Now, it even gets a little trickier there because this knowledge that this control can have that it's inside a form only works within the single rendering engine, in this case the web forms engine. Even if you put a form in a Razor page, the stuff that's going on inside your user controls that are being rendered by the web forms engine has no idea. So you actually need to have a form, being rendered by the web forms engine or it'll break. So what we have here is we added this little wrapper control. It doesn't even have a code behind it. It directly inherits from view user control. And all it does is it wraps that header control inside a form, just to make it happy. So once we have that, now we can have a layout CSHTML. So what we got here is the HTML part of this. It's basically copied from SiteMaster. It's pretty much the same stuff, but instead of these user controls, it has HTML partial, and instead of ASP content placeholder, it has render section head there and render body. But other than that, it's just the same as your SiteMaster thing. So it should look identical. So now this gives us, once we've done all these things, now we're able to actually add models, views, and controllers. So what I did here is I added a decrypt controller. We had it encrypt before. And what this guy does is the index, which implements just the get on decrypt, the name of the controller, it returns a view, and that view is going to be automatically this decrypt index view. So basically, this is a copy of the encrypt ASPX. With a few little changes, we swapped out ciphertext and plain text. And what we're doing here, instead of doing a postback, Remember, the whole reason we want to do MVC is all this cool new stuff. So we just have a regular button. An ASP button won't make any sense in MVC, in a Razor page. And what we do when you click that is if you'd already had a previous decryption showing up, because remember, since we're not doing the postback, we can't count on this thing loading with that hidden. So if it's not already hidden, let's slide it up to hide it. Now we're going to do a jQuery get on a decrypt action. We're going to give it the ciphertext and the key. And when that comes back, we're going to set the plain text to the value of the data and then slide back down and show it. And then the decrypt method is basically just the reverse of the encrypt method. It's as bad as the other one is. And now the other thing we needed to do is in our header, we need to add a menu item. Come on. That's going to point to decrypt. And now we'll see who has, whoops, I already see. I almost triggered the dark demon of demos, but I caught myself before he did. There we go. That was a nice misspelling there. And now that that's gone, we can refresh. And I guess I need to start him up again. And there we go. And now we see, still have the encrypt. And actually, let's use that. And we'll select all of that and copy it. And now we'll go to our decrypt page. And we'll paste that in, and we'll type in the same key. And there we go. And we've got that. And if I hit decrypt again, you'll see that goes away and comes back right there. So now we've gotten to the point. Now we're basically at step three. Let's see. And we'll make that one. So now we've done the basics. We've done the stuff that we learned from Scott Hanselman's blog posts. But there's still more we can do to get to that deeper embedding that's really gonna help us. So part of the thing here is from what we've done so far, okay, now we've got the MVC, we've got the web forms, but the web forms can't use any of the MVC goodness. You just got there. And frankly, it makes your life easier if even with maintaining the existing ASPX pages, you can get a lot of that MVC stuff in. So to do that, we need to inherit from view page, not page. Okay.
Yeah, there's a question, is the code going to be available after the talk?
I will do something to make the code available after the talk. I'm not quite sure from the conference organizers how we want to do that. I don't have a public website that I can put it on, but I can make it available however it should be made available. The code's designed to be made available. There's nothing in there that's nasty.
Great. Okay.
Okay. So you got a view page, but if you actually tried to use any of the MVC helpers, if you did it this way, they wouldn't work. We need some more tricks to do that. So what we have to do is we've got to override on init. And what we need to do is after this, we need to init helpers. This still won't work. In fact, init helpers will break because init helpers needs a view context. Now, what I'm not doing here is giving the full up wonderfully beautiful view context that will enable everything to work, because that's actually kind of difficult and you don't need it for most things. The big thing that you need here is you need that HTTP context to be set so that all these helpers know the address of the web page. So what we're going to do here is need an HTTP context wrapper here. That's going to wrap the existing context of the page. So now what this does is this sets up so all your helpers know the URL, so all those URL, URL dot this, that, and the other thing works. Some of the HTML stuff works, like HTML dot action and link action and action link and root link. What won't work is HTML.partial or render partial, because those require the full up view. And a view page isn't really a full up view. And that stuff won't work. If you want to do you won't be able to render a partial razor page. That won't work. But what you can do is by using action, you can do that, and you'll see that's what we're going to do in another step. So now, the other thing we need for this to work is a site master. Oh, sorry, wrong one. Needs to inherit from view master page. And I also realized that in the last step, there's one thing I forgot to show you, which was that once I moved all that head stuff out into its own user control with its own code to handle all the data binding, I didn't need that code in the master, in the site master class anymore, and could remove it. I didn't show you that step of actually deleting that dead code, but that's it. So now that we've done that, we can actually use cool things here like URL.content. And what I'm going to do here is, so you don't have to see me typing, I'll just kind of copy the different version here. And also, I'm going to need to make a little change in what's here, because now that we're using URL content, we don't have to do all the goofy stuff in here. All we're doing here is just the part to make sure that we know the difference between debug and release. So all of this stuff here with data bind, resolve client URL, all that stuff goes away, because now we have the MVC goodness and don't need it anymore. So we just have URL.content, and we piece together the strings that we need there. So if I have defeated the dark demon of demos, this should still work. And everything will be just what it was before, which actually is kind of the theme of this sort of stuff. This type of undertaking here is the kind of stuff that your users and maybe even your dev manager won't know about or care about. It's really the motivation here is to enable you to have a better framework for delivering the stuff that they do care about. But all of these steps underneath the hood, you're not seeing any differences. We're making, you know, refactoring changes to make our lives easier without doing things that are going to change the actual behavior, the things that they're paying you to deliver. So that gets us to the next step. And I think, well, you know, what's left to do? You know, I've already been talking for a long time. I'm not finished yet. You know, what's up with that? We want to get some more MVC into integration here. There's even more. And you know, one of the things is, you know, I mentioned that the forms authentication, that's a real pain. And actually, I'm going to, well, I already said it as a, let's, I'm going to show you that what I did is actually a little bit broken because of forms authentication. And the next thing we need to do is unbreak it. So, I mean, mostly the forms authentication here works, kind of, except if you go to one of your MVC pages and you try to do the logout, it's going to try to do a postback, and the postback doesn't work with MVC. So it's broken. The reality is the web forms version of forms authentication will not work correctly on an MVC page. So we need to fix that by getting rid of it. So here, once again, the way you would really do it is you would make up a dummy MVC project that uses the forms authentication, and you know, we're going to start copying things. So let's. I've already kind of copied things in the behind the scenes, and we're going to start adding them. So one of the things we need to do is we're going to add in these count models. And all this is just copied straight from the other guy. This just came straight out of the box from MVC when you include when you include the forms authentication and the account controller that needs to be included. And also, straight out of the box, didn't do anything to this. And we've got the account views. And again, it's just straight out of the box. You know, nothing special there. So what we also need to do now this head and header thing is where we've got all the stuff that we want to get rid of. So I really want to get rid of these user controls entirely. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to create actions for the include. So I need a head model, because remember I had all that funky stuff in there for that if depending on whether it's debug or not, we minify, we don't minify. So I've got this thing where, you know, you're going to pass the URL helper, and then it's going to use that to deal with the content and all that kind of stuff there. And so I've got an include controller. And head returns a partial view with that head model, and header returns a partial view with no model. And take a look at those guys. So head, very, very simple. It's the simplest thing we've had so far of how to deal with this stuff, that it basically just creates these links and script things, and it puts in the URLs straight out of the model. Now the header one, what we did is, you know, this, you know, we basically took the old header thing, and instead of the login control, we took in the equivalent thing from the boilerplate that was made in the MVC out of the box thing here. I could change it very slightly. I changed the text to log in and log out instead of log in and log off, simply to be consistent with what was before, because remember the idea here is from the point of view of our clients, nothing's changed. They don't really see a change. And then I replaced the menu control. Basically, I took the markup that was generated by that control, and which is kind of a little messy. And you know, you might want to actually do menus differently. So, but I just did that, and now all of the anchors here in that, we're now just using the HTML thing for root links and action links. So, you know, action link, straightforward thing. However, for root link to work, we need to make a little change, because you can see right now all we're doing is ignoring the ASPX pages, but we actually need to create a root for them. So we're going to replace the ignore root with a really dumb map root. We just give the root a name, and basically it just replaces itself with itself. You have to add this little tilde slash in front of it. So now root link will work for the pages. And another thing we need to do is in webconfig, somewhere here we've got that, we've got the forms, so we need the new URL here. Oops. We need to replace that, the old web forms URL with the new MVC URL. So now that we've done that, we can actually start changing what's in our master pages. So we can get rid of these user controls. And instead of the user controls, we're going to use HTML action, which has now been enabled by all the stuff we did for view pages and view master pages. And once we've done that, we don't need to register these guys anymore. And now also in our layout, we're now going to have these action things that we're going to put into our layout. So you get rid of these HTML partials and replace them with HTML action. And now, once we've done that, we don't need any of these user controls anymore. They're all gone. They've been replaced by MVC actions. But wait, there's more. So right now, the old encrypt guy is. It's still doing the post-fac stuff instead of the cooler Ajax-y stuff. We don't want to do that anymore. So instead, we can replace that ASP button that does a post-fac, just a regular button, and we're going to change that script, and it's going to look almost identical to the script on the decrypt page. And it's going to refer to a new method in that controller that we're going to have to add. Oops. We now have an encrypt method that we're going to add. So this creates another Ajax method here. And also, now that we've done that, we don't need any of this stuff anymore, because we're not doing a post-fac. So, if I did everything right, let's see if I have once again defeated the dark demon of demos. Let's see. Actually, I just want to do... Okay, well, that works. Now let's try some encryption. And notice, just to show you that we are doing the AJAX thing, you see? Cool, just like the other one. And decrypt. If this were an in-person conference, this is where you guys would go ooh and aah, and I would throw t-shirts at you. So that's all of the steps there, and then the step five is the finished one. So now if there are any more questions, I can take those and I can dive in more deeply on any of these things if you would like, and we will figure some way to post the. To post the code. Questions, moderator? Let's see. I see something here. At the end, can you also tell us what you use for automatic minification of CSS and JS? I don't. This particular demo doesn't do any minification. The reason that there was the debug and release for minified and not minified was because the existing jQuery stuff comes in both flavors. But there are a lot of other presentations on minification and those sort of things, and I didn't demo any of that here. I just kind of wanted to stick to this one idea. Any other questions? I'm watching Jabber and I'm watching the live meeting. If you want to ask a question by audio, you can raise your hand and I can turn on your mic. I can make an attempt now to upload let's see, can I add anything to the handouts on this sort of thing that you can let me see if there's a way to do handouts. I don't see how to do that. Nope. Okay, I see some questions here. So at this point, do you start developing MVC instead of web forms? What I have found in practice is actually once I've done this, I do both. What I found is when I have new functionality in there that's going to have really a new look and feel, or is going to be using a lot of AJAX-y stuff, then I'm doing it with the MVC. But sometimes I have a situation where I need a new page that is almost exactly like an existing page that's in web forms, and there's just no point in taking all the time to try to reimagine that page in MVC. I just copy the existing web forms page and change it. It says, oh, you should also demo the authentication thing. Yeah, okay. I did say that it was broken in the other one. I have to prove that it's actually working now. See? Log out worked there. And even if I go back to that page and I go log in. Uh-oh. Ah! Okay, thank you, Dark Demon of Demos. You reminded me. Now, I don't understand why this is a problem, because the documentation says render section by default won't care if the section's not missing, and in the but for some reason, it's not happy if I don't say false there. I don't know why, but for some reason it wants that. So once I fix that, it's happy. And logging on should work. Unless the database times out, I've had that happen. Timeout expired. Yeah, I've had this happen before, and but usually just happened because of SQL Express just taking a little bit long to wake up there. Let's see. Now it says MVC filter should now also work with WebPoint pages. Right? Oops, sorry. Okay, since there was an oops, sorry, there, I will assume that the beginning part of the question doesn't require an answer, which is a really good thing because I didn't know the answer to that one, maybe because the question had a problem. You could Dropbox the code to us. Oh, sorry for the login bug. Okay. Okay, so the question about MVC filters, if that is a real that's the super question. I honestly have not used MVC filters at all, so I could not tell you, but try it and I hope it would work. Yes, I could Dropbox the code to there. I don't have a Dropbox. Maybe I should just sign up for one real quick, and tell you what the what it would be. So let's see, I'm gonna do that on my other machine, just in case it shows stuff on the screen that I wouldn't want to share. So I'll just do that, and I'll tell you what the account name will be, and you'll be able to look there in like within in another hour. My other machine is running slowly also. Or SkyDrive for other services. Actually, I think I have a SkyDrive because I've got, because I think it comes automatically with the Windows Live ID. Let me. I believe I should be able to do that. Yes, I do. Okay, so let me figure out how you can okay. All right, let me figure out how to get the path to my SkyDrive public folder, and then you'll be able to look at it. If anyone knows actually how to do that, how to tell you my SkyDrive public folder. Someone, please tell me, and then I can share it. The other question. Let's see. You have both MVC and web forms talk to the same model. Yeah, it sure could. I mean, there's no reason not to. I mean, they can both see everything there. I mean, generally speaking, you don't really. Well, the concept of model is a little bit different in the two of them. But so let's say, for example, you were using entity frameworks like that, or in Hibernate, which is exactly what was said in the chat. It wouldn't make any difference. You could reference them in both places, and it would be just fine. I'm going to try to give you a link to my SkyDrive. And here. Here's what how cool. Someone's got a link for how to make a public link here. That's good. Is there any way to share a public folder without having the email? Is a get link option on your SkyDrive to share your folder. Okay, open your SkyDrive account, locate the folder you want to share, right-click use the mouse, select share, select get a link. And choose if we can, okay, so let's see. Public share, get a link, view only, here you go. Anyone can search for and view your public files even if you don't share a link. And cool. Here is, on the Jabber is a short link to my public folder, and within the next hour, I'm going to put a zip file in there with all the code. Besides the render partial, are you aware of anything else that's not working? Right on the MVC side. No, I'm not aware of anything else that which doesn't mean I did not go through every single method on all the APIs to check everything. But the only one that I did try that did not work was partial and render partial. Have you run into any other tricky bugs bouncing between the two in the same project? The other bugs that I ran into were in the same class as the ones that I explained. The big one being that. When you're inside the web forms view engine, it doesn't know what's going on outside of it. The way it actually really kind of works is, okay, so Razor's doing its thing, and then it gets to a point where it's going to need to render something separate. It goes call something, it gets a string back. There's no passing there is a passing of a context, but it's incomplete. It's just your context of knowing what page you're on. It's not the context of the view engine, you know, the each view engine, in addition to the general context you know, that ASP.NET understands. They have their own internal context for rendering, and you know, they're oil and water. Those parts don't mix. I think when Hanselman talks about wanting to make everything just work, what he's going to need to do to make that just work is to have some kind of rendering context that the different view engines can all understand. So that's your big gotcha. So someone's saying here, hold on. Usually in the projects I've worked before, there were lots of custom user controls and web pages. These kind of need to be shared and revamped a bit to work with MVC. And my suggestion is really to move them to being actions. What you can do, one way you could kind of go about this as a start, and maybe I should have demoed this thing if I realized that would be a big issue. But here's what I would do. So I would create some kind of controller for, you know, like the include controller that I made there. And now in that include controller, you can create actions and have them return a partial view. And when you create the partial view for those actions, you can make them web forms partial views. You know, they'll be ASCX pages, but they'll be pure views. And then in that ASCX partial view, you can include your existing controls right there, and then see what breaks. You know, you'll see, that way you'll find out, are these guys depending on stuff that's web form specific? And then if it breaks, then you gotta figure out, are you gonna do a workaround? Like maybe you need to wrap it in the form, like that header wrapper thing. That's what that header wrapper thing was. It's exactly what it was. So you can see if that fixes it. Or maybe you really need to kind of refactor things, rethinking things. You can rethink it, make it all work there. And anytime you want, you can say, well, if I'd rather have it as Razor, you can always replace that web forms partial view with a Razor partial view. So you can kind of move these things incrementally. And you don't have to do it all at once. Like you can say, okay, fine. I'm going to make all these include actions. That's, you know, for all of these user controls. And the ones that don't break, fine. I'll change them right now and replace in where I have them all the actions. And the ones that do break, I can do what I did with that header wrapper. Where I'm using it as a user control in SiteMaster, and I've got this view user control wrapper that I'm using for my layout CSHTML. So, you know, you can kind of combine these different techniques and bit by bit see what works, make the changes incrementally, because, you know, let's be honest about how this is really going to work, you know, in actual practicality. In most of these cases, you don't really have a lot of buy-in from your stakeholders for this sort of thing because they're not getting any direct value out of it. The behavior they get is the same. The indirect value they get out of it is your ability to add more things in the future more easily, and that way they get it faster and cheaper. But usually they're not going to invest in you, you know, to do that. So what often happens is, in the context of doing other things, you spend a few hours here, a few hours there, you know, with kind of stolen time to move this thing forward, so that, you know, basically you've got, you know, a little bit of extra time. You know, maybe you've got a little kind of a down cycle while QA is banging on your real functionality, and, you know, you're kind of waiting to fix bugs. So on the branch for the next release, you can start doing some of these sort of things incrementally, getting there. So bit by bit, you make your life easier, and down the road, the next time they say, oh, we want this new whiz-bang page that's going to do this, that, and the other thing, instead of being stuck with only web forms for a choice, now you've got a much wider selection of technologies you can use, and your stakeholders aren't even going to appreciate that. Oh yeah, you spent time up front getting things ready, so when they want the things, you got them faster to them than you would otherwise. Because their expectations, after all, is they give you a requirement and they expect to see it tomorrow, if not today. And the fact that you got it to them in 3 days instead of four, or 1 week instead of two, you know, they're not going to throw you a party. They're just going to be, oh, well, that's great. You know, fine. Now give it to us in 2 hours. They're never going to be happy. So this whole thing, this is for us. It's not for them. I mean, indirectly it's for them, but not in a way that they're going to appreciate. But in the long run, what you're kind of avoiding here is getting 2 or 3 or 4 years down the road and them saying, you know, we're really, everything we want, it takes too slow, and we're not getting all the whiz-bangy stuff we want. So, you know something, we're just going to shut this down and lay you off and replace it with this new whiz-bangy thing that other people developed. So, you know what you're buying with these little bits of incremental things that you do in your spare time is keeping yourself more relevant by increasing your ability to deliver for your customers in a way comparable to what other people will who don't have your legacy issues. I mean, that's the thing. Your legacy issues are endangering your career because they're endangering your ability to deliver for your customers. So if you can incrementally, you know, work on these legacy issues, you can keep your software and your job running for longer than you would otherwise. Anyway, we're at the end of the hour and 15 minutes, and you know we need to set up the room for the next guy. So if you guys don't have more stuff, I'll vacate the room and let whoever the they say. Contact info. The best way to contact me is via Twitter, and I'd given that before. There I am on Twitter. You can find me. I do tweet more about things not having to do with software than I do about things that do have software. But you can easily get to me through Twitter. But I don't want to give up my email because it's my email that I use for everything. I don't have a separate one that's just kind of a public thing. So Twitter is definitely the best way. If you have more questions, you can follow me and you can tweet at me or direct message me, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. So I'm gonna leave the room for someone else, and I'm going to zip up my sample code and put it on my SkyDrive that I gave you the link to.
Matthew, can you put the SkyDrive link? Can you show that maybe in your browser? Because people watching the video don't see the Jabber window.
Sure, right. Hold on. Oh, I didn't get the short one. What I was doing was that, but it reopened it to the long one.
Right.
So let me just kind of copy in the short one. Obviously the long one will work too, but here's the short one that will make it easier to find for those of you watching the video on Channel 9. I hope it's clear since I didn't have enough horsepower for the high quality recording.
Looks great. Okay, well, thank you, Matthew. Appreciate it. And thank you, attendees. Remember to rate the sessions on when you go to the website. There's a thing where you can click to rate it. Thank you for all the good questions during the presentation. And so stand by for the next meeting very soon.